Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, I'm hoping that you all had a good week, that life is treating you well, and that you're getting everything that you want. I know for most people it seems to be a lot of tension in the air. There's a lot of financial trouble. There's a lot of people feeling lost and alone and not knowing where to be turning to. So I'm glad that you're calling in and asking us for your advice. Nicole, how are you doing and how has your week been going? Well, Nicole must obviously be
I'm multitasking again, Cindy, and I'm with a customer.
Okay, so she's in her store. She's always busy helping us, and she has always a lot to take care of. And we never get to screen our first caller because the nature of Blog Talk Radio doesn't allow us to do it. So I'm going to jump right in and see if I can pick up our first caller, which is a 678 number, is the first numbers. Hi, Cindy, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and who is this?
This is Jana.
Jana?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jana, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay, so you're still warm down in Georgia, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's still warm. I mean, it's nice.
Oh, good.
Not too hot, yeah. Mid 70, 80.
Oh, wonderful. Now, I'm wondering what's on your mind tonight. Did you need some advice from us? Do you have something you want to share?
I guess advice. How do I phrase the question? This is it. There's a guy that's been flirting with me, and I don't know if he's, serious or not.
Okay, and again, how long has he been doing this flirting?
For a while now. I'm saying more than 6 months.
Okay, and have you let him know how you feel?
No, in subtle ways.
Okay, because remember, people aren't mind readers. And sometimes when people are giving us signals, loving signals or inviting signals, and we're not picking them up, it's because we have our own fears of perhaps getting involved or our fears of rejection. I mean, he definitely has feelings for you. How far this relationship would go is hard to tell. But if you would let him know how you felt, have you ever asked him just to go for a cup of coffee or something?
No.
Okay. And how often do you see him?
Once every 2 weeks.
Okay. And again, the next time you see him, I would advise you to, let him know how you feel by, saying, I love when I run into you. Could we ever, just grab a cup of coffee if you have time? It's not asking him to marry you. It's not asking him for anything. But a lot of times men are a little shy as well. And, women are always waiting for the men to make the first moves. But sometimes, they have their own fears of rejection. You're getting over a relationship that didn't work out well in the past?
Yes.
Okay. So, you're kind of, wondering if you want to get back in the game too?
Yeah, that too. And, you know, I guess fear of rejection, I don't know.
Everybody fears rejection. I mean, that's part of life. And the whole point is that when we die, sometimes we do get to see the life God intended for us as opposed to the one we've gotten. And you get to see all the times where God brought a soulmate or a person who could have been a friend or a lover to us, and yet we were too afraid of rejection to open that door. You're definitely going to be with a soulmate. There's a very good love coming. The man who's in this picture, I'll explain a little bit to you, and you can tell me if it fits the category of this guy. He's actually a very nice man. He's smart. He makes good money. He's a reliable kind of a person. Does it sound like the man?
Yes.
Okay. And how is it that you're brought into alignment with him? Because soulmates are usually, you know, God has to kind of maneuver the earth to bring them, but how is it that you've met him?
He comes into my business.
Okay. So you can see God kind of delivers these people to our doorsteps. He's not sure if you're taken, by the way. You're giving him some vibrations that you're either taken or not interested. So sometimes women who are shy or afraid of rejection or have been hurt in love, and men too, they give off a vibration that's not approachable in a deeper sense. He's not sure if you're with someone else. How would he know that?
I know. Yeah, I know that.
So it's almost like having a conversation where you're saying, you know, something like, oh, my God, there's this great movie I'd love to see. Too bad I don't have a boyfriend. Do you know what I mean? Somehow you let someone know then that you don't have a relationship. It's not coming out necessarily saying it, but that, you know, he could read between the lines. And, you know, he is a little shy. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he might come across a little charming and all of that, but that's something he's learned to do. Does he seem a little nervous when he's talking with you?
I'm not nervous. Sometimes eye contact, he'll look away.
Okay, because that's how you could tell someone who likes you. They get a little shy. You know, we don't want the players. They're like used car salesmen. They're so slick. You know, they tell us everything we want to hear, and, you know, meanwhile, they're not interested in a relationship. This has potential here. So, again, it's letting him know that you are available, that you are interested. And if he doesn't pick up on it for some reason, it's not necessarily that he's rejecting you personally. People are really afraid of love. It scares the hell out of them. So if there's a potential sometimes for someone to have a good relationship, they sometimes run away because they don't know if they're ready for it. They've been hurt. They don't know, you know, love changes everything. So we have to stop taking everything personally, like they're rejecting us. Many times there's just nothing wrong with us. People are really good catches, and people know that. They're just afraid. So for you, you know, get out there and give him some signs. How old are you around, by the way?
I'm 46.
Okay. And he's around your age also?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like people get old enough where they can become a little bit more confident in themselves and speak up. He really admires you. He thinks you're very professional. You have a lot of the traits that he would be interested in. But again, he's not sure if you're interested in him either. So it's, you know, going there and letting him know because there's great potential here. And it's also just letting you feel at least, you know, you're getting some in your mind of feeling like you have a relationship or something going on without it actually being there. It's almost kind of safe to have this relationship in your mind. But you want to put it so that it's more than just a fantasy, don't you?
Right, right.
What do other people think of him who see him? Do they think he's a good guy?
Oh, yes.
I know. So that's good because you already have met him, you've seen him, and it gives you a feeling that he is a good man and a good guy. And did you know if he's taken? Do you know if he's married or anything?
No, he's divorced.
Because I'm not seeing a long-term relationship here anymore, so... You don't want to wait too long. This isn't going on for 6 months. He's a pretty good catch. You know, some other woman might just jump in and stick her, you know, fangs into him because she sees that who's less shy than you, and then you won't realize that you could have had him, but you just didn't act fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep thinking, oh, I'll do it next week, next year, next month. you know, again, just mentioned to him, you know, oh, I'm, you know, I'm single, it's so hard to find good men or whatever, you know, something that gets the discussion going and see if he takes the hook. If he gets evasive after that, oftentimes they're just afraid. You know what I'm saying? But at least it's better to know it's not going to go anywhere than to have hopes for 2 years and realize it wasn't going to go anywhere.
Right.
But there is potential here. There really is.
Okay.
He likes you a lot. Good luck, and please let us know what happens.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. What a lovely woman. Who, you know, she has such good energy surrounding her.
Absolutely.
Again,
I heard the last end of that.
Okay, she does, you know. And again, isn't it like good advice just to tell people, you know, the greatest invitation to love is to be loving first. Let someone know that you're interested. Don't keep them guessing. Most people are insecure. The players know. The narcissistic people think they're God's gift to the world. You know, those people think everybody likes them. But
that is true.
You know, the average person's a little bit insecure. They know all their blemishes. They know all their flaws, you know, and they're thinking everybody else knows them too. So, you know, don't assume that everybody's secure because, you know, most people are not all that secure in the dating world. They also get nervous.
A lot of people, when it comes to love, they act like children too because, like sometimes people will have gotten hurt in their lives, let's say, and then they won't want to be loving because they're afraid that if they do that they're going to get hurt again. You know, and then they wait for the other person to take that first step towards them. Well, sometimes both of you have got to take a simultaneous step towards each other. You know, it can't always be one person chasing after you, and it can't always be, you know, you staying stationary and you allowing the other person to chase you. You know, it's sometimes you got to take a step towards each other and have that one thing in common because it helps you, you know, take the guard down a little bit.
Right, exactly. And, you know, remember, I've told my listeners that I have been an entertainer. I've done upwards of 10,000 live performances, and people were sitting only a few feet from me, and I could hear what they were saying because when you're an entertainer, people are allowed to say what they want. And I would hear, she's too young, she's too old, she's too pretty, she's too ugly, she's too smart, she's too stupid, you know, all in one day. And I would realize, this can't be me. How could I be all those things in one day? And I learned not to take rejection personally. I learned to see it as a projection of other people's insecurities. If they have a weight issue, then they'd have a problem with mine. If they have an age issue, they'd have a problem with mine. So, you know, we've got to stop taking everything so personally. You know, it isn't always about us. It's you know, once you step outside of that, life is so much more liberating. You know, you don't fear rejection, and if they do reject you, maybe it's their issues. I mean, why should you think there's anything wrong with you? So, Nicole, you've done a couple of screenings here. Joellen, you want to tell us a little about Joellen in Chicago?
Yes, of course. We are going to go over to Joellen right now. And basically, Cindy, in a nutshell, Joellen had a crappy day.
Right. What did I open the show with? A lot of people had a crappy day, week, a crappy decade.
You know, I mean, she had a crappy day. And you know what? Like a lot of people that tend to start off their days in a crappy way, sometimes they just want to hear, you know, well, what's going on, you know, cosmically that could be leading to this crappy day. So Joellen from Chicago would like to know what's going on with her relationship and, you know, wants to know just what's going on in general, you know, regarding her crappy day. So let's go and see why she's so crappy. Hello, Joellen, you're on here.
Crabby cakes. Well, you know, and along the lines of what you were saying with the last caller, you know, in my situation, I have something very similar, what's different is I don't want to say anything to him because we have a mutual friend. She said something to him, and it ruined the friendship. So, I'm not going to.
I know, and sometimes it's when people do our talking for us and we don't speak up, you know, that's what could happen. I see a lot of you, like, sort of, even kicking yourself in the head a lot. And there's a little bit of depression in these cards. And you're a nice person, by the way, Joellen. And nice people sometimes don't think anger is a valid emotion and we stuff it down to depression. Are you angry at your friend who spoke up and said the things that got in the middle? Have you gotten in touch with the fact that you're a little angry?
With her telling him that she's interested, but him not being interested in her?
Right, but this is the same guy you're interested in, correct?
Right.
Okay, don't you think that was your friend overstepping some boundaries or like...
No, because she had no idea that I was interested in him.
Okay, and that's because you didn't let her know?
No one knows.
Okay, good. Well, at least he didn't like her. But can you see she did at least have the audacity or the courage to tell him? It's better to tell people. What if they don't like you? Isn't it better to know today than to go on pining for somebody for 2 years who isn't interested, never will be? Are you about ready to tell him how you feel also? Or you now did you get afraid?
I was about ready to tell him, and then something happened, and then I didn't talk to him for a while. So.
Okay, Chicago's a pretty big city. There's only one guy in the town that you're both interested in the same guy?
It's a big city, but I don't know. But like I said, you know, going back to the original thing, I kind of woke up with, you know, this week has been kind of, you know, crappy with people in general, and I don't know if it is like a cosmic thing or is it...
I think it's just that you're an older soul, and older souls have to get the blinders off. There's a lot of not nice people out there. There's more not nice ones and more manipulators than there are good people right now on the planet. That's the unfortunate truth. And sometimes God keeps giving us that lesson until we get it, that it's not really about us. It's about them. They're manipulators, they're liars, they're not people of their word. And, you know, there's a lot of those people. And unfortunately, this economy, because there are some people who are genuinely bad to the bone. Most people aren't that, but they can go either way, good or bad. And this economy is bringing out the worst in some of people, where they will sell their soul for a dollar and stab you in the back and hurt you. That has to stop, because that's the energy of Nazi Germany. That's what, you know, the economy got bad. People will just do anything for money to get what they wanted, to get jobs, even if it meant putting other people in ovens who had the jobs. It's really not good energy. And in cities, tends to be a little bit worse because it is a little bit more dog-eat-dog there. And, you know, for you, don't take it all personally. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. Are you learning that?
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like this happens when I get overconfident and happy. And then I tend to overstep a boundary, and that's when I go, wow, I'm being taken aback.
Okay, and overstepping a boundary how?
Just, you know, normal people. You know, I can be a little bit larger than life sometimes, and I don't really recognize when I overstepped a boundary until I do it.
Okay, that's one of the important things, is learning to how to set healthy boundaries. And, you know, that's one of perhaps your resolutions starting today, to be a little clearer about setting boundaries and not violating them or frightening people off. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, a little bit of sense of humor could diffuse some situations as well. I'm not seeing that there's anything really wrong with your personality by any means, and that, you know, your over-the-top behavior is something that is probably, you know, a good quality in its own way. It's just learning, you know, sometimes we can be a bit much. And how old are you, by the way?
44.
Okay. So has this been a problem most of your life?
What do you think?
Yeah. And again, you're now 44, and... You're not 14, and you're not 24, and, you know, what I see for you is a nice relationship.
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of look at it as if, you know, it's the thing that I've been grappling with, like pull back the reins, pull back the reins, pull back the reins. And it's almost as if I pull so hard that my truth comes out because I've pulled back so much. And it's,
right, and again,
it's,
truth
it's the
is
most
good.
Of the time that I am actually, you know, moderating. But it's moderating, you know, where it's not really who I am.
Right, and again, that's another thing. We have to learn to say what we mean what we say without being mean about it. And that in truth-telling, you're a messenger, and a lot of people aren't going to like us. You know, we always want everybody to like us, and sometimes when we tell the truth, people aren't going to like us. So if you, if people get scared off you because you told the truth and you needed to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so be it. That is one of the things that if you could learn perhaps a little bit diplomacy and not stuffing down too much. What you're doing is stuffing it down too much, and then it blows up. I mean,
this is a life lesson that I'm working on.
And but this is what, you know,
you
all,
so
of us have to, all of us have to learn that, because women particularly have been told to be nice, nice, make nice, make nice. And once a month when we have our periods, we explode like a nuclear war. And it's not that it's our period necessarily. It's that finally all everything that we've kept quiet for a month comes out. It's just not coming out nice, but we should have said it for the 30 days, not just all at once. So, you know, it's one of those things. You know, try to, you know, think before you say it. If it sometimes has to be said and people don't like you, so be it. It's what it is.
Well, thank you so much. I
call it again, and we don't want you to have a crappy day. Tomorrow's going to be a wonderful day, and, you know, the crappy days make us appreciate the better days.
Sure thing.
Good luck to you, and thank you for sharing, you know, your little insights about yourself with us today.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy, Nicole, does that sound a little like you and me when we, like, you know, hold it in and then, oop, not so nice when we come out with it?
Yes,
boy, there's a little bit of us in everybody, huh?
I think that's why those people are drawn to the show, Cindy, is because of that.
I could tell
they
people
go,
a few,
oh my God, we're
a few times where I've let it out. You know, my father's expression used to be to me, and my father was a crazy Italian boy with a temper. By the time I was a teenager, he would say, Cindy, a little less honesty around here. Like, he really didn't want to hear it. And then my college roommate had a very good expression. She would say, Cindy, you don't temper your honesty with kindness. And I learned to temper my honesty with kindness. There's everybody will tell the, you know, hear the truth, but we've got to learn to say it in a way that doesn't quite, you know,
just
rock their world
the truth
so much.
Doesn't mean you can't say what it is tactfully.
Exactly. It's not so easy, though. You know, especially I'm half Italian.
You don't
Italian.
Have to make it more abrasive than it actually is.
Well, but, you know, I'm half Italian. Italians notoriously don't know how to say things nicely. Do you know what I mean? So I've had to learn that. It's not been easy, but I'm getting there.
Good.
And now we do have Kathy in Pennsylvania. Can you, like, I see you have some notes, but can you, like, tell me about Kathy?
Yeah. Yes, of course. We're going to go over to Kathy in PA right now. And last time she called in, you had said that you saw her going to school, and she's curious to find out which one you see her going to. And she wants to know if she's going to be coming into any winnings on a game of chance or lotto or something of that nature. So I guess you saw some luck in her cards last time. She just wants to know how that luck is going to manifest itself. So we're going to move on to Kathy.
Okay.
Hello, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Cindy. Hi, Nicole. I see a very good five-year period here. Yeah, you do have the Wheel of Fortune spinning. So I'm not necessarily seeing that you're going to win lotto, but I think your own life is going to be a good lotto game now, in which you're going back to school is what's going to really be what's going to manifest your money. I see you do have a couple of choices. What schools are you looking at right now?
Actually, there's like a community college in New York either, or
which one
Sussex,
is it?
But,
is it Suffolk
I think
community?
It's the Orange County.
Oh, Orange County, uh-huh.
And
what other
New
school?
York. And the other school would be Sussex College in New Jersey.
Okay. They both actually look like good choices for you, but it depends on where would you want to be living. Where do you want to go? Do you have a preference? Have you visited the place? They both look like you would get the education you wanted.
Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to go for my associates because I want to be a counselor.
Good for you.
So,
and again, in New Jersey is closer to where you're living in Pennsylvania. Would it be better for you to stay closer to Pennsylvania?
Yeah, because I have an apartment.
Right, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, it looks better because I'm not sure you want to get rid of your apartment and move.
No, not at this time. I can't.
Right. So I'm seeing that you'll be able to do very well definitely in college. You're going to do very, very well. People who are older that go back to college normally do really, really well. their life skills, the things they've picked up, really are helpful, and they're much more determined to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be, you know, my daughter who's 31, she's a journalist. She's very bright. She's a very gifted writer. I mean, she could talk when she was just a baby at like 3 months and then 6 months. I mean, the kid was talking. And, I thought she was a genius, and then I barely got her through high school. And so she never went to college, and now she's going back to college, and how well she's doing, and you know, how much she's enjoying the learning. And it's one of those things. It has to be the right time. And I'm sure you didn't want to be a counselor when you were younger. You didn't know what you wanted to be, so you might have just wasted your time. So this is a new career for you. It's going to yield money. In terms of lotto and things like that, you know, I'm a person who is not probably the best person to ask about lotto winnings, because I'm a person that thinks you got to be in it to lose it. I've actually never bought a lotto ticket in my entire life. You know, I mean, I always figure to God, you know, I'm one of those people, I make money, you know, through blood, sweat, and tears, you know what I mean?
Right.
I acknowledge that I've always had abundance, but boy, I work a lot of hours. And I've always believed that the lotto was within me, and I think you have a lotto within you, too. I'm not saying don't buy an occasional lotto ticket, but people are so hooked on buying lotto tickets.
No, I'm not like one of them. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, buy yourself a lotto ticket for $1 instead of a $2 Starbucks coffee, and then buy the coffee at McDonald's or something, you know, whatever it is. But I really see you winning the lotto through two things: your career, which is going to lead you to this wonderful soulmate, love, who's going to bring great abundance in every way into your life. So, you know, you just have to put...
Say that again, Cynthia.
You have a wonderful soulmate coming that's going to bring you abundance in every way, in love, in terms of money, and helping you feel like you've got a really successful life. You know, just close the door on the past that has not been the world that you should have had.
Right.
And allow the new world to emerge. You know, there's a point in which we have to say it doesn't matter what happened in the past. We're responsible for today.
Right.
And just make it a brave new world. You know, just, you know, there's a point where we just have to say, this is my life, this is my today, and I'm going to make it manifest, because that's where you're at. You really have good cards. So, you know, I think the New Jersey looks wonderful. Are you planning on starting in January or the fall, the winter season? Is that when you're going to be going?
Probably not this. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, spring or, because I still got to look into it. And
do you know that there are government grants for people that want to go back to college that are women?
Do you see me getting a Pell Grant or?
I see you trying to get a grant. And, you know, that my daughter's been very blessed to be able to get a grant. Basically, her education is being paid for in the community college by the Obama, you know, some of the Obama money
right.
that is allocated. I would advise you to start taking advantage of it before they stop that program.
Okay.
You know, it is, you know, just Google, you know, college grants, you know, Obama, you know, the one he said everyone has a right to be educated that wants to be.
Right.
So, you know, look into that, because that's a lotto win right there.
Okay, now do you see me going during this year or the beginning of next year?
I saw it more like even maybe in the summer or the spring. So, sometimes they have like 3 semesters now. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
even if you could, you know, you start, you know, looking into taking 1 or 2 courses, it would be helpful. But
okay.
But right now, when you get this week, your assignment is to look into the grants that you can get.
Okay.
Because that would be really helpful to you. You
okay.
know? And you know, I'm, you know, my prayers will be with you. And really, education is, you know, really a wonderful thing, and especially when it could lead to you being a counselor, because you have a lot of healing energy, and you've been through so much in your life. You know, Kathy's a regular call-in, so we know that she's, you know, hasn't always had the easiest life. But
right.
what we've learned and what we've healed and what we've emerged from makes us great healers. And it also allows us to call people on their nonsense and say, we don't really care who your mommy and daddy is, knock it off. And that's very healing. That's very healing in its own way. You know, knock it off. You know, I once had a man who was so abusive to his wife and children, and his wife was going to leave him. And she had been guided to me, and I had pretty much said, you're being loyal to a man who doesn't deserve your loyalty. Well, at first he came here wanting to punch my face in. But when I said to him, really, I don't care what your mommy and daddy did to you. You need to knock it off. You need to get on your knees and beg your wife and children to forgive you. You need to stop being a jackass and start being the man that you're meant to be. Do you know he's the most wonderful husband 2 years later?
Wow.
And he said to me, in all his years of therapy, nobody ever told him to knock it off and that they didn't care what his mommy and daddy
did.
Two sentences, 20 years of therapy, two sentences got the man on the right track. So you can imagine sometimes just to knock it off and, you know, we're tired of hearing it. Only children
can be
victims.
We're responsible for ourselves.
Right, and only children can be victims.
For ourselves.
Right, and children are victims. I'm not, no doubt, when you're being beaten the hell out of and abused by a parent and you're a kid, you're abused.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're a grown-up, you can't be a victim anymore.
No, because it sucks being there.
It doesn't. It is. You know what? And it gets old, and people get tired of listening. So like, my mantra is let's all knock it off, stop blaming mommy and daddy, and, you know, move on with life, and let's embrace a wonderful today. And, you know, even with the economy, no more victims. Stop with the victim. There's no shortage of work on this planet. Find something that needs doing and do it.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
Well, good luck to you, and please call in again in the future and let us know what's happening.
I will. I thank you so much. It was
You're
nice
so welcome.
You.
Okay,
and Nicole,
you too.
Thank you so much.
Nicole's the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very
we
much.
We always have a lot of callers. Nicole, do you know that we have 4,000 or 5,000 listeners in the archives each week?
Wow, that is amazing. Thank you all very much for that.
I know. I thought you would find that interesting.
That's
I didn't
awesome.
Realize it was that
That's
many.
Really awesome.
Also, that people not only listen to us live, but we get people call. And I'll run into people who in a place that I haven't met, and they'll say, you know, I listened to your radio show with Nicole. And I'll be, really?
That's
really?
So cool.
So I love hearing about that. And thanks to all the listeners that have been buying the book because, you know, people have been buying a lot of the books lately, and I do appreciate it because every book sold of Grant Me a Higher Love, I think we're getting to a better place in the world. And, you know,
absolutely.
I'm so glad to hear about that.
For it.
Okay, now we're moving along. Who's the next one that you screened?
Actually, go over to Susan in Hicksville right now. And
okay.
She was actually one of your callers last week, Cindy. And, you know, you had asked her a question. You had asked her whether or not she was too hard on somebody that, you know, that I guess,
right.
You know, there was a situation that you'd asked her if she really felt that she was too hard. Well, basically, she kind of evaluated, you know, what she was doing after the show, and she wound up contacting this guy. And now since she's contacted him, he's really, really coming on very, very strong. And, you know, she just kind of wants to know, like, what your thoughts are on that and what she should really do about that. So we're going to go over to Susan in Hicksville.
Okay, Susan. Hi, Susan. Well, you
hey,
must be
Susan,
quite the catch.
There.
She must be quite the catch. This guy, you know, just can't wait to jump right in.
No,
is he scaring you off because he's coming on so strong?
Yeah, this is someone I know I had talked to you about.
Yeah, say,
like, you
can you just refresh our listeners? Because not everybody's listened last week, so they may not know.
Okay. But, yeah, this is someone I went out on a date with over the summer, and I met him through a friend, and he had got, like, a very good feeling about him. But then after I went out on a date with him, he ended up, about a week or two later, he ended up going back to his ex-girlfriend, who he had told me he was completely over. And 2 weeks after that, he contacted me and said, you know, it didn't work out with her, and can you give me another chance? And they told him, well, you don't really know what you want. You know, you need time to figure out what you want. So I felt like, you know, I just kind of shut him out after that because I've been hurt a lot, and I got out of, like, a really toxic relationship last winter and met a lot of not really great guys since then and have not been in a relationship, you know, since the toxic relationship last winter. So here was this, you know, seeming like a great guy. You know, a really good friend of mine knows him, has known him for a while, and you had said, oh, you got a good feeling about him, and give him a chance, and then he did that. So, but last week when I called, you had seen him again, I think, in the cards, and said, well, he feels like you're punishing him, and he feels really bad about what he did, you know, going back to his ex-girlfriend, and he's still thinking about me. So I know I said something like, well, I don't like liars and cheaters, because I've just been so hurt, you know.
But again, a liar and a cheater is one thing, and people tend to, out of, you know, there's paths of love and fear, they tend to go back to the devil they know, because, you know, they can't hurt us anymore. You know, we don't care what they do. A higher love scares the hell out of people, because now we have to come to the plate. We have to heal issues. We have to be a better us. And it's not unusual for people to get scared at first.
Yeah. Well, he was honest with me, because he did tell me he went back with her. And, you know, he respected me when I wanted to, you know, give him time and have him take time and take time myself. But, well, anyway, after, you know, last week, you got like a good feeling about him from what you were seeing, and you said, you sure you don't want to give him a second chance? And so I really thought about it, and I contacted him. So we've been in contact over the last week. And now it's like, it seems like he really wants someone in his life. And he's already like asking me, well, you know, if you ever want to get away for the weekend. And I'm thinking like, he's someone who I don't have like this tremendous attraction to, but I feel like I could if I had the time to develop it. And I feel like he's like pushing things a little too fast. And I'm just wondering what you're feeling about this, because, I mean, I really want to get to know him and take the time to get to know
him. Have you told him that?
Not yet,
okay,
no.
Okay, you see how you can tell me so easily what you want, and yet we have trouble telling people who we should tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, by telling him, I don't just jump in bed with men. It's not me. I have to have, you know, a relationship. I have to feel, a mental, you know, intercourse first before I can go to the, you know, to have, just have sex. So, you know, I appreciate that, you know, you desire me, and I appreciate what you're saying, but I need us to go on dates and talk and get to know each other. If he runs, you'll know that, you know, well, he doesn't want that, or he'll respect the fact that you need some time.
Yeah.
And it's always best for us not to expect that people are mind readers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some men are so slow to move it forward, they make us nuts. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of you. He is, you know, a nice guy in these cards. He may not be the guy for you, but again, maybe you have lessons to learn in communication. And maybe he's a transition soulmate or a relationship brought to help you to learn how to say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. You know, women oftentimes go with men who choose them. They go with the level of speed. You know, the men snap their fingers and we have to jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not enough women are really saying what they need. And so if you could learn to communicate with him, there's a lesson there.
Okay.
And, you know, it just looks like, you know, you're not asking, you're not saying I never want to, but before I ever, you know, it's nothing wrong with me. Before I sleep with a man, I have to, you know, have an attraction for him. It has to be a relationship. It just can't be a booty call for me. And, you know, if he doesn't like that, then let him run now. Let him go in the other direction. But it appears he would
respect. He really cares about you. It shouldn't matter in the first place.
Right. He does care about you. And, again,
okay,
sometimes men are just, in this America, are lacking, like, chivalry or they don't know how to behave. They watch all these stupid movies where the guys act like morons, and they're thinking that's how you're supposed to act. So maybe if you educate him that this is not turning you on, it's kind of turning you off, and that you like him, you know, enough to tell him the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say it nicely, say it with a sense of humor, but, you know, just, he looks like someone that you need to just, you know, not, the world is not black and white. People make mistakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you need to not judge others quite so harshly. I mean, most people can't live up to, you know, standards of behavior. Most people are not that full of integrity and everything. But they can learn. But if we judge people too harshly, we may scare off somebody who was quite teachable. You know, that doesn't mean we're fixing people. There's a difference. You know, you'd have toxic love if you weren't fixing that guy. But some guys are teachable, and determining who can be taught and who can't be taught and who wants to learn is another thing. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be a weekend, but say, could we have dinner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that I'd be okay with, but it just feels like he wants someone right now in his life. And
well, again, because that's a person who's looking for a man or a woman to fit a plan. And some people can't be alone. They want instant love. You know, it's become like this, you know, the speed dating. In a minute, I know if I love you or don't love you mentality. And people, you know, sometimes are just so desperate for a relationship. And there's no reason you have to be nervous about that. If that's what he's looking for, you know, a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love or any pretty woman's interchangeable another, you'll soon find that out. Maybe that's what he thinks he wants. Maybe you'll show him a higher love. I mean, a lot of people don't know what soulmate love is. They don't know that people aren't interchangeable with other people. If they've never experienced soulmate love, they don't know it. They don't know it exists. So you can maybe have some interesting discussions with him and see how he feels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But again, just because we have a date or a kiss isn't a contract. Because you kiss him doesn't mean you're going to marry him. Doesn't mean you owe him your life. So, you know, maybe God is just trying to get you to get back in the game and to realize that you have some learning to do before perhaps this man that you're meant to be with comes into the picture. You might as well make mistakes with these people.
Yeah. Okay.
Good luck to you. Well, let us know what happens. And Nicole, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, actually, the only thing I was going to add to that was think about it in terms of this. I mean, if you like this person and there's a mutual like there, then you guys have got to respect each other enough to be able to be honest with one another without any kind of fear. You know, like that was, I mean, my girlfriend now, I mean, you know, we're, you know, very, very much in love and everything. But when we both started, you know, it was, I don't want a relationship. I just kind of want to hang out. I just kind of want to do this or that, you know. And then there were times where she was coming on a little strong where I was like, you know what, I'm going to back off. And then there were times that I was coming on a little strong where she's like, you know what, you just got to back off a little bit. And here we are today, happier than can be, all because we had the respect for one another to just put it out there and say what we wanted, you know. So I don't think if this guy truly cares about you that it's really going to be a problem that you're not ready to go away. I think that it might be a case of you, like, thinking that there's more of an issue than there really is. You might say, you know what, I'm not really ready for that step yet, you know, and he might be like, okay, cool.
Okay.
You know, you're never going to know unless you bring it up.
And again, soulmates with higher love, sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it's, you know, with TJ and I, the first night I met him, he whispered in my ear forever, and he's my fiancé. So sometimes, you know, was that coming on strong? I don't know. And the first time he came to see me, traveled from Montauk to Patchogue, I said, I don't do booty calls. I don't do any of that. It's 2 feet in and see what's here, and we'll see if love grows. And he said, fine, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes it's simple. Sometimes is that coming on strong? It's all dependent. But I think you need to trust your gut. If he's looking for a woman to fit a plan, to have your guard up is a little good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trust your gut. You know, Susan, you're very intuitive. And if that's what your gut's telling you, then that's what it's seeing. But that doesn't mean you can't go out and have dinner and perhaps, you know, have a good time and enjoy yourself. And don't sleep with a man until you're ready.
No, I've told myself, like, the next time I'm that intimate with someone, it's going to be the guy that I really feel is the right guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that
three-date rule, isn't it, men think three dates and you got to sleep with me. I don't know who wrote those rules, but that seems to be the three-date rule of people. I'm like, no, if on the third date you don't feel like sleeping with them, then he doesn't have to ask you on a fourth. But, you know, it's women thinking now that they have to jump in bed or that, you know, they feel like, oh, this is what's expected. And that can make all of us squirm, you know what I'm saying? So you know, I'm a person who really has never
made love to really someone that I didn't love. You know, the one time I did do it in college because he was the hottest guy on campus was the biggest disaster of my life. Never duplicated that again and never would. I mean, I learned. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But to me, it's like that's a sacred thing. And I don't understand. It's a little bit strange with, you know, the younger generation. It's like they wouldn't want somebody to touch them they barely know, but they pick up a guy in a bar and sleep with him. I mean, it's odd.
I don't do that. I've never done that.
Right. And, of course, you know, respect your boundaries. Really respect your values and tell them what it's like. Say, you know, I don't really want to spend a weekend with somebody I haven't even, you know, spent a dinner with. It would make sense. You know, so good luck to you and thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, Nicole, you've been like screening away and multitasking, whatever it is that you
been.
Do.
No, I'm told you, I'm good at my multitasking, Cindy.
I know. I mean, I'm always doing like 18 things at once, you know, and
it never ends.
You know, once in a while, I'm trying to do one thing at a time, but you know, usually that's not the case. You know, I'm doing my hula hooping while you know I'm thinking about the book I'm writing or whatever. It's usually two or three multitasking activities.
Absolutely. Hey, there's no better way to get stuff done.
Especially work, you know, you got to work out. So if you got to work out while you're doing something else, that's the way it is. So, Nicole, who are we going to now? What state, what place?
We are currently going to very, very beautiful Orlando, Florida. And
wow.
We're going to Kara. And basically, Cindy, she just wants to know if you see her and her husband moving anytime soon. She feels that the move would benefit their relationship, and she feels like the move would be a definite positive thing, but she's just not sure if it's in the cards. So you tell her what's in the cards.
Okay.
Hello, Kara. You're on the air.
Hi, Karen. This is my first time listening to the show.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm very excited I found you both.
Oh, thank you so much. And you have the Chariot card. The Chariot card is a person who has a wonderful 5-year period ahead of them, and anything they want is theirs, but they have to take the first steps forward. You mean
okay.
The universe isn't going to dump, you know, another state and, you know, like this is where you're going to live.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to figure out where you want to go. When you were a young child, you had a lot of courage. You would need a little bit of courage now to make that move. But money-wise,
mm-hmm.
it looks much more lucrative for you and your husband. He's a little
mm-hmm.
depressed at this point. Are you aware of that, your husband?
Yeah. We've had a very hard year because it looked like we were going to move earlier this year, and for some reason he didn't get that job, and so it kind of got our hopes up, and then it's like, so it's been a hard year for both of us in different respects.
And you have to understand that sometimes God knows what's best for us, and when
mm-hmm.
we don't get that job, God, because you and your husband are already in the 5-year period, which is what's best for you will happen. It doesn't look like he would have loved that job, by the way. So this is, you know, he's also very strong-willed. Once he makes up his mind, you know, he goes forward. The two of you look like you're a little bit overwhelmed because I think at this stage in your marriage, you're probably expected to have more money or plant some roots more permanently. But don't get discouraged because you really have a great 5-year period. You're quite capable of making very good money, both of you. What state is it that you want to be moving to?
Actually, it's to my home state, Colorado, and he's never lived there before, but that's actually where I grew up, and I moved out here in Florida and met my husband, and now it's like we both keep feeling drawn back there. So
okay,
I'm not quite sure if it's an excellent thing to move back out there because there's a couple relationships out there that are pretty dicey, but at the same time, it's like my heart belongs out there.
Okay, and again, you pulled a geographic, kind of ran away from your problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of good people sometimes don't know how to stop being loyal to people who don't deserve our loyalty. I mean, Jesus himself said, I did not come to make peace, I came with a sword. two turned fathers against their sons and daughters against their mother-in-laws and things. It's just the enemy is usually within our own families, and sometimes we don't know how to just not see them, even if they're in the same state or town. We move away. At this point, if you go back to Colorado, you can draw boundaries, and if people are behaving in a way that you don't like, you have a right to not have them in your life. And, you know, Colorado looks wonderful for you. It looks like you'd be very successful there. Are you guys putting out resumes? Are you going on, like, Craigslist, and are you looking around at jobs that might be in Colorado?
I actually have several jobs I'm going to have him look at tonight and get the ball rolling again. So I'm very excited about that.
Right, and it looks as if, you know, you will love being back there. He will like it. Don't get depressed, both of you, because depression then makes us stay stuck way too long. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the human nature works like this. There's an issue or a problem, and by nature, we hide our head in the sand and hope it'll go away. And some problems are like that. If we're in New York and it snows and you don't feel like shoveling, eventually the snow will go away. But other problems are like a toothache. The longer you ignore it, after a while, you got a big pain in your mouth. So, you know, hiding your head in the sand or pretending there's not a problem or just like kind of waiting for Godot, waiting for, you know, God to drop something in our lap, we might be waiting a long time. So all you guys have to do is be clear. Like, because you had a little bit of mixed feelings, you weren't sure if you wanted to go back to Colorado because of those relationships, you're kind of giving mixed messages. If you just told God, I'm the master of my destiny, I want to be in Colorado, I will deal with those relationships in a way and pray to do what's best for everyone, including myself, when I get there, it would go very, very smoothly for you.
But oh, excellent.
You were a little unsure, you know. God has to answer our fears. And so you have the best cards of anyone I've looked at in a while in terms of money, happiness, five-year period in which you want. You know, just go for it, but don't get discouraged, and you'll deal with the people in Colorado when you get there. You know, and we can't keep running from people. We actually have to sometimes confront the past and, you know, realize that we're responsible to, you know, how people treat us. And when we draw healthy boundaries, you'd be surprised. People either stay within those healthy boundaries or they leave us. And, you know, if they don't like what we have to say, let them run. Goodbye. You know, and be truthful. I sound like I'm a very hard person, but I'm not. I'm a very compassionate person, but I've taken way too much nonsense from family members in my life, and I don't do it anymore.
And the funny thing is that my mother lives, you know, 1,500 miles away, and she feels like she is right in my living room most of the time, even when I'm not talking to her, because she has such a strong energy.
That's why I said you can go to Jupiter, and you're not going to run from these people. It's best to put yourself in the same room with them. When we have narcissistic mothers, boy, and they love us very conditionally, there it's a pretty big whammy to overcome. But once you realize it's not you, Carrie, you're an old soul born into dysfunction to end it. You have taken on this. You might as well see that evil and manipulation exists in our inner world, in our own households, in our own families. Deal with her. Tell her what she wants to hear and do what you want, because that's what she does. She tells you what you want to hear and she does what she wants. And you're not going to change her. She's never going to change. Your mother, and you have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do. I remember several of my grandmothers.
Okay, this is your mom's mom basically saying she ain't never going to change. You're not going to change her. Okay. Nobody's going to change her. You can accept her. You can love her for who she is, but you certainly don't have to allow her to, you know, to be that pig parent telling you what you should do and, you know, do what you want to do. And
yeah, and
she
doesn't own the entire state of Colorado. So.
But she thinks she does. Are you kidding? My father owned the universe. He was the master of the universe. Are you kidding me? What do you care? I used to call him Mein Führer. You know, the man owned the universe. And, you know, when they're larger than life, and that's what they feel like when we're kids, you need to go back and see, you know, that, you know, she has clay feet. You need to see, you know, in Dorothy, the moment of the Wizard of Oz, when she realized the man behind the curtain was just a man, he wasn't a great wizard, is a moment of revelation that they're just human and they're pretty flawed. We can love them in spite of their flaws, and we can love them even from afar if we can't handle them. But going back and looking at her through grown-up eyes might be a very healing experience for you. So sometimes when we're getting that inkling we need to go back, there's lessons we need to learn. So if the economy is sticking you back in your parents' house, you young people out there, maybe you need to see your parents through grown-up eyes instead of those of a child. God is very wise. God knows where to put us. So go back
and
there.
And I just have...
Sure.
Oh, I just have one more thing I'm just curious about. Do we have anybody around us, like our angels or our past relatives?
You have angels, you have spirit guides, you have a lot of ancestors and grandparents near you. And the spirit guides actually guided you and your grandma to actually call in here. You know, 20% of our thoughts are not our own. They popped in from dead people. Go on Blog Talk Radio. Go. Oh, listen to that lady on the show. We think it's our own thoughts, but... You were really told to follow your gut, follow your inner guidance. Your husband has a grandfather who loves him very much. Does he ever talk about his grandpa who passed away?
Sebastian, and I see him. I see him in my dreams.
Right,
so,
and he's and your biggest spirit guide. And
that makes sense.
And he's the one that's basically telling you guys, you know, go forward in your life, be the masters of your own destiny. But sometimes we really can't go forward until we go back. We really can't. We need to, unfortunately, you know, face some things that, you know, we may not have wanted to face. And, you know, my father, who tortured me most of my life, died, you know, a year and a half ago at 89 years old. And I used to say to God, why are you keeping him alive? And God would say, until you're not afraid of him, I'm keeping him. And one day I said, I'm not afraid of him anymore, but I've had enough. Well, he was gone within a month, and I really wasn't afraid of him anymore. But it was that moment where I realized if I continued to be afraid of my father, I would continue to be afraid of authority figures, afraid to speak my truth, that I might be crucified or smacked or hit or beaten. And we've got to stop being afraid, you know what I'm saying? And it starts with our parents. Even now, sometimes when I hear a man's voice, the first thing is to squirm a little bit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't want you to be afraid of your mother all of your life. She's just a human being and a flawed human being. And so, you know, if she is still that big pink elephant in your living room, you know, if you've ever read Tennessee Williams' Glass Menagerie, there's a brilliant line, and it's, my father was distinguished by his absence. He loomed larger than life. Because the father had abandoned them, he was larger than life. So until you face your mom, she may be way larger in spirit than she will ever be in the flesh and blood.
And thank you so much for talking about the spirits around us, because I talk to them all the time, like every day. I'm constantly talking to my past relatives, and so it's just nice to hear some feedback.
And the more that you talk to them, it's like a friend. If you stop calling your friend or emailing, your friend goes far away from you. When you, it's the same with the dead. If you call upon them, if you speak to them, if you want them near, they will stay very near. So call them, ask them for help, ask them for guidance, ask them to find you a job, and then pop the thoughts in the head of the interviewers that you're the right people for the job.
And that's a great idea.
And that's
thank
how
you
it works.
Guys so much.
Good luck to you, and thank you so much, Carrie. You're a very sweet girl.
Thank you.
Okay, now, Nicole, I'm sorry that we're running out of time tonight. And some of the callers who we didn't get to tonight, Nicole, can you try, if they call in next week, to screen them first and let them come on first? There's the one another one in Florida. So, Nicole, it's time to give shout-outs. Nicole, do you have a shout-out to anyone? Oh, I think Nicole's lost in maybe chat room. I'm sorry that we couldn't get to everybody, but if you could see the volume of callers that we have, and I do try because people do wait a long time.
I jumped back in.
Next week, Gina in Florida, if she would call in, you know, we would definitely get to her next week. And,
all right. Yeah, well, what I'm doing is I'm taking note of what her number is, Cindy, and I did hear what you were saying earlier. I just didn't realize that my mic hadn't been turned on because, like I said, I didn't want to, like, affect what you were doing, you know, while you were on the radio, if, like, my phone rang and things like that, so I just didn't turn my mic back on. But I did hear you, and, yes, I will definitely make note of Gina's number, and I'll make sure that she gets on next week if she'd be so kind as to call us back.
Okay, and do you have a shout-out? I'm just shouting out to Nicole, who manages to make this show as successful as it's becoming. And thank you, Nicole, because you're the best. No matter come hell or high water, her hair needs doing, her business is like in her face, she's here. And, you know, and it's a labor of love. She doesn't get paid, not in dollars and cents. I hope she's learning from it, but it is a labor of love, and I appreciate that labor of love.
No, you know what? I absolutely love you, Cindy. I love the show. You have helped me, you know, in so many different ways. And you know what? In a lot of ways, you know, when I hear, you know, what our callers have to say, you know, there is a certain point where it's almost painful for me because
me too.
I remember being there. You know, and I'm aside from just being overall sympathetic and you know, having some compassion, it is kind of, you know, it's painful to hear because I remember when I was there and I know how far I've come. And I've come that far because of you. And actually, in the very beginning of the show, we didn't get a chance to go through this all that much. But, you know, like everything is going great in my life right now. Everything is going great in my love life. And that I owe to you because had I not learned from you, then, you know, I would not have been there. So.
And again, it's painful for me too, Nicole, because those people who know me in my private life know I don't talk about my past. It's pretty much been resolved, been healed. And when I have to talk about it, sometimes my hard childhood, my own dysfunctions that I've lived for, it's painful sometimes just because, you know, there we are back down that road again. But we do it because it helps others to see that you can have a hard life, you can be disappointed in love and in life, and that every day is a new day, and that's all we have is today. So I would rather have the wonderful, happy life I have today, and you do, than a happy childhood, because that's over. So
exactly.
I think it's
exactly,
pretty good deal here, because all we have is today, and today is good. Do you agree with that?
No, Cindy, I 150% agree with that, because you know what? You know, the one common thing that you hear a lot of people say is, if I only knew then what I know now. So you know what? Would I personally like to undo some stuff in my past? Absolutely. On some level, anybody would want to undo some stuff because it hurt. Let's face it hurt. But you know what? Would I rather, looking at it from a more constructive and like a less, I guess, sentimental point of view, would I change anything about my past? Nah, not really. Because it was all of those trials and tribulations that led me down certain paths, that led me to certain people. And you know what? I get to experience today with what I know, and I don't have to, you know, regret not knowing it back then. You know,
exactly.
I mean, so like I love every single day, and every day I learn something. Every day, you know, I love my life just a little bit more. You know, I had a fabulous day with my girlfriend yesterday. I did not even think it was possible, you know, to fall deeper in love with that woman, but yesterday that happened. And, like, you know what? I would never have come that far had it not been for you. So my shout-out is to you, Cindy, because I wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for you, I don't think.
Well, thank you so much. And I agree. I wouldn't change my past. But if God asked me to have that kind of dysfunctional childhood in another lifetime, I'd say, hell no, give it to somebody else. I've been there, done that. And I'm
thank
ending
you.
That on that note.
Amen, sister.
And we'll see you all next week. And thank you for listening. Bye.
Oh, goodbye. Bye.